Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right, including your movie.
Josh Bell hates everything.
Except me.
Hello and welcome to the Josh Bell Hates Everything podcast. I'm Josh Bell, film editor for Las Vegas Weekly, and joining me this week is film critic and historian Tony Macklin, online at tonymacklin.net. Thank you for being here, Tony.
M-A-C-K-L-I-N, Tony, T-O-N-Y.
There you go. Check him out online. So we are here at the end of the year, and as we've done, I think this has got to be the third or fourth year in a row that we've done this.
Yeah.
I always have Tony come in at the end of the year, and we can discuss our favorite movies of the year.
After this, there's a huge box office bump in
Las absolutely,
Vegas.
Because people know which movies that they should see after we've told them. So it's really a significant event here. So we're going to go through our top 10 movies of the year, and let's just jump right into it. Starting counting down with number 10. And my number 10 pick, honestly, I have to say,
does this mean that the rest of your picks are going to be dishonest?
No. This is I meant about this pick. That I would say my top 8 picks I felt really, really confident about, and the number 9 and 10. Not that I don't think these are good movies, but I think I was slightly less confident. So with that caveat, I will say my number 10 pick is Inception, which I thought was an extremely entertaining, very well crafted blockbuster movie. I thought it was a little overrated. But then again, there was also a big backlash against it eventually, which I thought was a little overstated as well. So I think somewhere in between there is my opinion, which is it's maybe not changing the face of cinema, but it's entertaining, it's well acted, and it's extremely exciting to watch. I think the editing, especially in the climactic sequence where the characters are in several different layers of dreams, trying to pull off their elaborate dream heist thing, is just really fascinating to watch. And so for that, if nothing else, I think it's absolutely worth seeing, and it's definitely one of the more entertaining movies of the year, I will say.
I was not fascinated.
No, you were not.
But I think I admire the film.
Yeah.
But it's not I think it's a film about dreams for people who don't dream.
So right. I mean, that was one of the common complaints of it. Yeah. I think a lot of people felt that way. And I was able to get past that. I think there are different kinds of dreams, and for this movie and for the purposes of this movie, the characters are designing dreams that function in a more linear way. And I was okay with that.
My 10th pick, and let me put this first, I agree. The problem with a film like Inception was it was a mediocre year at American films.
Yeah.
I had to go, I used to think, boy, people who pick foreign films, they're really snobs. But I am a snob at this point.
Oh, that's
an elitist.
Fair. That's
and
absolutely
I,
fair.
My 10th pick is a Israeli film,
mm-hmm.
That was the most excruciating filmmaking I experienced or film going I experienced for the first half. It's called Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about somebody giving his personal experience. It's not a documentary, but it has that authenticity because he was actually a tank gunner in the 1982 attack on Lebanon. And there, it's just a punishing first half. And so Lebanon is my 10th film.
Yeah. I think that's another movie that I was impressed with the craft of it, but I thought maybe it was a little too insular and too punishing in a way that it just kind of overwhelmed me, not in a good way. But certainly a movie to admire the craft of. And speaking of admiring the craft, my number 9 pick, another movie that I think maybe has some flaws, but I do really admire the craft of it and the talent that went into it. It's Darren Aronofsky's Black Swan with Natalie Portman, who seems like a pretty much a lock for an Oscar nomination and probably a win. And I think she does an excellent job as this ballerina who is sort of cracking under the pressure of her first major role. And it's the kind of movie that could have been silly and melodramatic, but I think Aronofsky kind of dials up the tension in exactly the right way, and he just jumps into the absurdity of the story, and Portman's performance is so intensely internal that I think it keeps it from being too ridiculous, and it just becomes, again, it's another movie, I think, like Inception, that I just was fascinated by while I was watching it, and it just drew me in really well, and I appreciated
that. It's very impressive schlock.
I mean, I don't think that you're necessarily wrong about that. I think it is a schlocky kind of story. I think it's executed in a way that didn't feel schlocky to me, though.
No, it is emotional, and Aronofsky does have – Aaron, is that his name?
Yeah, Aronofsky, yeah.
Does have talent, but he's also very self-indulgent.
Oh, he is.
And he doesn't really control things where discipline might have raised at a level.
Right, and I think this is much less self-indulgent than something like The Fountain from a few years ago, which I thought was just
– dreadful.
Interesting, but dreadful,
In fact, that probably was the film that ended his relationship with his partner, Rachel Weisz. Because they split now after 9 years together, and that if anybody could have survived that, The Fountain, they would have survived eternally, but they didn't.
No. But this is better. Yes,
my ninth pick is How to Train Your Dragon.
Oh, that's an interesting choice.
I can recommend that. That every year I hope to get one or two films that I can recommend to everyone.
Yeah,
and I think How to Train Your Dragon is one of the very, very few. It's well done. It's fierce. It's whimsical. It's not for little children. It's a little scary for little children.
There's some intense moments to it,
But it's a good morality tale, and it soars, and it takes animation in a slightly different way. One of our favorite cinematographers, Roger Deakins, who's the regular cinematographer for the Coen brothers, he also came in as a visual advisor and tried to add a quality of reality to the animation. I think it's a terrific movie.
It's a lot of fun, and it does have a nice look. And I think one of the things I appreciated about that movie is that, unlike a lot of DreamWorks animated films, it's not reliant on silly pop culture references or kind of pandering to adults. It's just a nice story that, like you said, I think works for audiences of all ages. So, I like that one.
Just in case I didn't say it clearly enough, How to Train Your Dragon.
Right, yes, exactly. My number eight pick is a movie that never opened in theaters in Las Vegas, but it was available on demand, and it still might be, actually. It's called Monsters. It's sort of a low-budget sci-fi horror thing, but I think unlike movies like Skyline that came out this year where the focus was on the idea that, the director created these special effects in his basement and, you know, where the idea was just that, wow, look at the special effects. And this is a movie like that was done on a very small budget, and the director created the effects as well as shooting it himself, editing it himself, writing it, everything. Gareth Edwards is the name of the guy. The effects in this movie are used very sparingly, to the point where sometimes you even forget that there's aliens in the background, and it becomes more of a character-driven story about these two kind of mismatched people who are trying to get across the border from Mexico to the United States in an area that's infested with these aliens that have been sort of inhabiting this region for several years at the point the movie starts.
Is it available?
I think it's available on demand, or at least it was. It's through Magnolia Pictures, and it will be available on DVD, I'm sure. If not yet, I'm sure it will be soon. So it was definitely a surprising kind of film for me, but really interesting, underrated. Gareth Edwards is the director. It's called Monsters.
My number eight is Winter's Bone. It was a lilting, effective portrait of hardscrabble existence in the Ozarks in rural Missouri. And it's been advertised as a crime film, and I think it's much more a character film and a family film and an idea in a location in a particular area. There is a struggle between members of the clan for not only survival but to prevail. Wonderful young actress named Jennifer Lawrence plays the 17-year-old, and it's directed by Deborah
Granick. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes,
I think
Granick, who co-wrote it, and it comes from a novel, and it's just one of those. I guess you either like it or you don't. You either say what, nothing's happening, and I think it's a very subtle kind of lilting, dark, but movie that at the end is at least a little bit uplifting.
Yeah, no, I agree. I like it a lot. I mean, we'll get to it. It's on my list later on. So I will say that I completely agree with you. It's an excellent film. And I think you're right. It's yes, it's a crime thriller, but also it's just a fascinating character study and a regional study of the kind of people who live in this area. I mean, it feels very authentic, and the characters that she encounters as she goes on this sort of mission to try and track down her father are all really fascinating and rich and complex, even if you see them only for a few minutes. And I really appreciate
it. It reminded me of James Agee, who's my favorite film critic, and I studied him in college as a writer and really wanted to carry his mantle. He wrote a book called Let Us Now Praise Famous Men, where he lived with the sharecroppers and Walker Evans took the photos. And this kind of had the same quality, the same instincts of that as seeking out, as you say, an environment and really letting us understand.
Yeah, it really feels very lived in that world. And I felt like I had some sort of insight and sense of it, in addition to the story that it tells, which is also fascinating. My number seven pick is the movie that's probably the most talked about in terms of best of the year this year, which is David Fincher's The Social Network, which I think is an excellent film. And if it ends up winning Best Picture or whatever it may end up winning, I would be more than happy. It may not be my favorite movie of the year, but I think it's really well done. And I think the great thing about – I know when this movie was first announced and it was David Fincher directing this movie about the genesis of Facebook, I thought, what kind of ridiculously bad idea is this? And it turns out to be just an absolutely engrossing kind of movie. It's – I mean, I think like David Fincher's Zodiac, which came out, I think, in 2007, it's a movie that's really concerned with procedures and with people who are sort of these obsessives about detail. And Fincher is able to make these kind of things that go on in this movie – things like coding websites and uploading, just making them into really a fascinating process.
Well, it wasn't only Fincher, but he was served very, very well by maybe the best American film script of the year by Aaron Sorkin.
Yes, and the screenplay is excellent. I agree. And Sorkin is the kind of guy, too, as a writer who I think can be kind of self-indulgent and kind of narcissistic. And his dialogue is so sharp and the characters are so well drawn. And I think a director like Fincher, who's super, super meticulous, is really the right choice because he doesn't let the dialogue kind of – he doesn't let any of it get away from him.
And I think both Fincher and Sorkin, coming from a Jewish background, Jewish culture, understand Zuckerberg.
Uh-huh.
Zuckerberg?
Yeah, yeah, Mark Zuckerberg, okay, yeah. The Facebook founder, right. And Jesse Eisenberg, too. Let's, you know, not forget him, who plays Mark Zuckerberg and does just an absolutely excellent job of making this a guy who's clearly – kind of a jerk, not really very likable, but at the same time is clearly a genius and is clearly so far ahead of these other people who end up suing him and maybe are wronged in a way, but are not in any way on his level. And that was really impressive. So, yeah, that's just an excellent film.
Once again, I left America and went to, this time, Australia, which is the hub of modern contemporary filmmaking, a film called Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
And I have several films on my list that are foreign films that I think most moviegoers would relate to.
Yeah.
And this is one. The mother, David Michaud, wrote and directed it. He went to the University of Melbourne. But it's about a crime family. And this Jackie Weaver's performance as a mother, as a matriarch of the family, it is scary.
Yes.
She is one scary lady.
Yes.
But it's a film about a young man trying to keep his humanity in a family that does a lot of inhuman things.
Right.
And I think Animal Kingdom is a very, very fine film.
Yeah. No, I was impressed with it, and I agree with you. I think it's the kind of thing that people who like thrillers or like crime movies would really be engrossed by and appreciate.
And they don't have to read words underneath
it. Right, exactly.
They may not understand the Australian accent too well.
It's not too hard to understand. I don't know. I don't think – and Jackie Weaver, luckily, I think she's at least getting the right kind of attention. It seems like she'll probably get an Oscar nomination for that and is absolutely well-deserved. My number six pick is Danny Boyle's 127 Hours with James Franco, who is going to host the Oscars and I would hope will also be nominated for an Oscar. Just does an absolutely – amazing job as Aaron Ralston, the real guy who was a hiker who was trapped. His arm was trapped under a boulder, and he ended up having to cut it off. And this is the kind of movie that, again, you kind of wonder, how is this a movie? How is this story going to sustain this one guy stuck against a boulder? How is this going to sustain us for 90 minutes? And Boyle just goes absolutely apeshit with this movie. I mean, the flashbacks and the fantasy sequences and the way he shoots everything, it's just astounding, I think. And it's the kind of movie that could be so dull and so insular. I mean, and an approach that might have worked. But
actually, it's more ape brain than it's ape shit, because it is a terrific movie.
Yeah.
Because it has the control that I suggested maybe Aronofsky didn't have and maybe was a little bit lacking in Inception. But this, usually Danny Boyle is wild.
Yeah.
But there's a real heart and soul and restraint to this film.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think so. He really focuses. I mean, it's all over the place, but it's always focused on Franco's character. It's always focused on him, what's going through his mind, how he's going to get away. And it's really emotionally affecting, too, I think, when you get to the end, when he finally frees himself. And it's just a great catharsis. So, yeah, an excellent film and an excellent performance from James Franco.
Sixth, I leave the country again and go back to prison, go back to crime.
Yeah.
Here is a film that people haven't seen that I really do recommend called A Prophet.
Yes.
A Prophet is both a prison picture and a gangster saga.
Yeah.
And if you related to Michael Corleone, you will relate to Malik.
Right.
To the young man who is in prison. It's in three foreign languages. It's in French and Arabic and Corsican languages.
Yeah.
So you do have to, but it is, I think it's a film, foreign film, that a lot of people could get their first experience of a foreign film, and it would be acceptable.
Oh, it's very identifiable. I think if you're a Scorsese fan, if you like things like Goodfellas, I mean, the way it's structured and the way it's edited is very recognizable and very entertaining. I mean, it's not a kind of oatmeal kind of film, you know. It's very watchable.
Beautifully acted,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. No, I agree.
A Prophet.
Yes. My number five pick is Winter's Bone, which we've already discussed. Excellent noir, crime, character study, regional study, the whole package, and Jennifer Lawrence, just an amazing performance from her.
And my number five is a film that you already recommended, The Social Network.
Yeah. Look at all this agreement we have going on.
Wonderful.
Here.
Next year will be very, very interesting to see. Fincher is now making The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Right.
Which is another version of the Swedish film.
Right.
And so we'll see whether Fincher can.
Yeah. I'm a little I mean, this is another one where they announced this and I thought, really, this is what he's doing? I mean, there's already been a pretty decent film made out of this, the book, which is very popular. And like a murder mystery kind of thing, I feel like he's kind of covered that ground with Seven already. So, but I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, I was very skeptical about Social Network, and it turned out to be great. So we'll see what happens with that.
It's got the same girl that was in Social Network.
Right, Rooney Mara, who had a small part in Social Network.
And
so.
Do you know why Rooney Mara was named?
But I bet you do.
Yeah. After two owners of established NFL franchises,
that
Rooney and Mara.
That is weird. I
yes.
don't know if that's
yes.
something to be proud of, but interesting. So my number four pick, here's one I think that we're going to have a little contention on, is the Coen brothers' True Grit. Their version of, you could say it's a remake of the 1969 John Wayne film, or you could say, as they do, that it's their version of Charles Portis's novel, which is the source material for both. Either way, I think this is a great film. I mean, I love the Coen brothers, and they rarely do anything that I don't care for, but I think this movie is just really rich. It's really well-acted. Hailee Steinfeld, this young newcomer actress who plays Maddie Ross, a young girl who hires a U.S. Marshal to track down the killer of her father. It takes place in Arkansas in the, you know, during the Old West times of some sort. She's just absolutely fascinating to watch, and she delivers.
Fascinating. I thought she was a bore.
Really? You didn't like?
She made Kim Darby look good.
Wow. And I'm with you on Kim Darby.
Tell me one scene where she acted, where Hailee acted.
You don't think she? I mean, I just think she embodies this character. I mean, it's a character who's so determined and so restrained in her way because she's unwilling to ever show her emotional vulnerability. But there are moments you see when you can see, I think, in her eyes, that kind of the haunted quality that she has of...
She was haunted because she was trying to figure out the Coen brothers' dialogue.
And see...
The florid
And you didn't like the dialogue either?
Oh, I hate the dialogue.
See, and I love the dialogue in this film, which I haven't read the book, but...
I have.
Is a lot of it is directly from the novel, is it not?
Yes, but they put their own... Remember when they remade the Lady Killers and made Tom Hanks speak in florid,
and that was a movie
expansive.
That I didn't care for. Yeah.
Okay. But I'm probably being too hard on Hailee Steinfeld because she's enthralled critics, and I just thought, okay, she's acceptable.
Yeah.
But I don't see her as an actress.
Really?
I mean, you said maybe the award will go to Natalie Portman. I think Natalie Portman really acts in The Black Swan.
Well, and also, for some reason, which is ridiculous, they're putting Hailee Steinfeld as a supporting actress, despite the fact that she's nearly every single scene of this movie.
Now, let me take a little quick aside.
Please.
This, because I had an experience with this movie, with True Grit, that I've never had before and really was enlightening and revelatory to me. I wrote my review, and it really was not a negative review. I said it was a worthy effort. I said the film, nobody reads that, because my first line was, the dude ain't no Duke, which is a double negative.
Right.
And people wouldn't pick up on that it was a double negative. I sent the review in to Rotten Tomatoes, and they changed it to negative, to rotten. So it was now 24 to 1. Yes, they changed it. But both my webmaster and my wife think it is a negative review.
Yeah.
Because I said my thesis was that that Jeff Bridges and the Coen brothers would be better served doing something else rather than this new version of True Grit, asking whether their next project was going to be Bridges was going to play Bogey as Allnut in African Queen, in the Coen brothers' version of African Queen.
I would see that.
But anyway, you know that when we write reviews, I forget you know, but when we write reviews and they're posted in Rotten Tomatoes, and yours are as well, that occasionally we'll get one or two. At last count, I had 172 comments.
Yeah.
Most of them wanted to hire a hitman.
Yeah, it's
or boil me in oil.
Right,
and I was not flabbergasted, but cringing and hiding and waiting to be attacked.
I mean, the level.
So I added a post. I added an addendum to my review.
Yeah,
it still is negative. I got 5-6 letters, and they were vulgar and obscene and. I tried to write them back. And it wasn't. This is the point that I'm concentrating on with all of this. The first guy said, I apologize. Thanks for taking the high road.
Yeah.
And it was all like, it's like today people can attack things because they're on the net.
Right, and they don't realize there's a person behind it.
And it's not only a human, but it's almost like... Your worst instincts
come out.
Bottom line, what it was for me was a remarkable experience because I always write back to the people who write me personally. I don't write back to the comments because you know I can't understand them because they're written in some foreign language. But anyway, that was my movie experience of the year.
Yeah.
And it was a teaching, learning experience both for a few moviegoers and for myself as well.
Well, no, that's good. I mean, I'm glad you got something out of that because I think a lot of times that vitriol that comes out online is just so – it's single-minded. I think for movies like this where, I mean, Rotten Tomatoes, people get obsessed with the rating and it's like, if it's got a 98% and there's two or three people dissenting, it's like those people need to be strung up and hanged.
Well, one of them, the first guy I think I answered, I said, I hope I wouldn't cheer at a Hitler rally.
Right.
When everybody else was cheering.
Right. You know? Yeah. I mean, and I think the diversity of opinions is one of the most valuable things about criticism and about Rotten Tomatoes, where you can go and read dozens and dozens of reviews. You don't want them all to say the same thing. You want to learn something. So I do think that's misguided, but I'm glad you were able to get something out of it because, you know, I usually don't. So that's good. So back on, I think we've gone off track.
Oh,
did
I'm
we talk about
fourth,
your number four pick?
No. Okay. I'll speed it up.
All right.
This time I only went to England.
Yeah.
The ghostwriter, Roman Polanski's. I think it's a really lean, effective thriller. Ewan McGregor and Pierce Brosnan. The whole sense of a prime minister having to, this guy is going to rework his memoirs, and it really goes into Polanski's own life. Polanski has been under attack, and I'm not going to take a position on it, but it's where a veteran master of cinema is still creating personal cinema.
Yeah.
And I was very impressed by
it. I was impressed by it too. And I think Olivia Williams is especially noteworthy, who plays the wife of Pierce Brosnan's character and just does a really excellent job. So yeah, I like that. It has a great final shot. The final shot of that movie is just really, really excellent. My number three pick is a movie that I think was kind of divisive this year. Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Which was heavily hyped before it came out and then turned out to be kind of a box office bomb. But I just thought this was I think I've said this about several movies, but it's just, first of all, flat out entertaining, funny and clever and creative. And just the way that it synthesizes so many things that I think don't enter into cinema that much, but are such important parts of the culture for people maybe my age and younger, people in their teens and 20s.
I'm sure you identified.
I will say, though, that a large part of what's synthesized in here is influences from video games, which is not something that I have any interest in whatsoever. But comic books and indie rock and just the way it all came together. And even though I'm not a video game player, I thought that Edgar Wright did such a good job of putting these things together, as opposed to movies that are based on video games that a lot of times are complete failures at taking what might make the game interesting to people and putting it into a movie. I think he does a great job of showing the joy and excitement that people get from video games, which is not something that I get necessarily, but that I felt coming out of this movie. So I just thoroughly enjoyed it, but I can tell you.
No, I don't have a negative reaction. Yeah. It didn't speak to me personally.
Right.
But I can understand its value and appeal.
Yeah, and I think I hope people will check it out on video, because again, not a lot of people saw it in theaters, and I think it's definitely worthwhile.
Am I number three?
Go right ahead, please.
England again.
Yeah.
The King's Speech.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I thought this was even better than Sorkin's script. I thought this was the best script of the year. It's based on an actual occurrence where the Duke of York, who's played by Colin Firth, who will get a nomination.
Yeah, he was very good.
And became King George VI, how he had a severe stammering problem. And they were his wife was trying to figure out a way to help him, and finally sought out a commoner from Australia, who's played by Geoffrey Rush, who also will get a nomination. And I think she might, too.
She might, too, for no reason. I love Helena Bonham Carter, but the part has no – there's nothing special about it. She's kind of like the supportive wife character. She does a perfectly good job, but, it's nothing outstanding, I don't think.
It spoke to me more than that.
Yeah.
I thought the support was very human, and it wasn't just rote.
Right.
Or it wasn't just connect the dots. I thought she was very appealing to me.
Yeah.
So this was my third best. It's just a literate, articulate film. And I think this year the average film had excellent acting or very good acting and okay direction and mediocre writing.
Yeah.
There were about five films that had a decent script.
Yeah.
And I still love language. You were talking about the effect of Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
But what you were also talking about was the script, I think.
Oh, yeah. It's an extremely clever script. I think that movie is full of really smart dialogue, really great jokes. A lot of it, which is taken directly from the source material of that, which is the graphic novel series. But I think True Grit, which is a movie we disagree on, though, I think that movie is extremely well written, that the dialogue in that movie is very carefully considered. And I love that about it.
But she would never speak that way.
But
and
I mean,
what
I don't,
bothers
I,
me.
I don't think it has to be completely naturalistic in order to be.
It doesn't have to be. I just didn't like what
no,
the
no,
way
I,
she
I,
and
I,
her delivery. She speaks the lines like a robot. I mean, they come out so fast. There's no thought behind them.
I think it's...
And I like thoughtful dialogue.
Well, no, I do too. I do too. And I don't think she's speaking like a robot. I think she's someone who's trying to hold herself together in the face of not only the grief of the death of her father, but also this overwhelming situation that she's sort of put herself in.
You know what my big problem with that film is?
Okay.
The Coen brothers blew away a character that didn't die in the novel, and I hold that against them.
That's the grudge that you're holding.
Yeah, that's
all
it.
All right, fair enough.
And there was they were cruel and they played Michael Vick.
Wow. Okay. Well, let's move on from there. My number two pick this year is Please Give, Nicole Holofcener's. Again, another movie that I think is extremely well written with great dialogue, great characters, and well acted. I mean, a movie that has great writing that's brought to life really well by Catherine Keener, Oliver Platt, Amanda Peet, Rebecca Hall, a really good cast. And it's a great examination of sort of upper middle class guilt. And I think it has a perfect balance between sort of taking the piss, you know, not taking it too seriously and realizing that these people have very first world type of problems, but also showing how it can kind of consume them and can take what should be a comfortable, happy life and make it miserable in a lot of ways because people don't allow themselves to be happy. So people who don't allow themselves to be happy, the theme of my top two picks this year, but Please Give, excellent. And another movie that I think flew under the radar for a lot of people and I hope will be rediscovered on video.
Okay.
All right.
My number two pick is one that was on your list, 127 Hours.
Wow.
This is a film that I can recommend to almost everybody. I mean, not children, of course.
No.
When I went to the theater, I expected a grueling... I mean, the guy cuts off his arm. Oh, my God. I'm going to have to sit here and watch it. And son of a gun... At the end of the film, it's life-affirming.
It really is.
It's uplifting.
It really is.
And you leave the theater. I think I left the theater with more positively seeing that film than in any other experience
I had. It is. It is really, really uplifting and really just life-affirming. And it's just a joyous film, which sounds weird for a movie about a guy who cuts his arm off, but it really is.
And it sounds weird for Danny Boyle. I mean, Danny Boyle likes to
Slumdog Millionaire was another kind of a movie, I think, that was about a lot of miserable stuff that ultimately was joyous.
Yeah, but it was uplifting because it had a bicycle pump. Not because okay,
yeah.
I think this
artificially
is more, this
so.
Is more
yeah, okay.
This is more human,
right?
Than
no, I mean I agree with you. I think it's an excellent film. My number one pick is a movie that is in no way uplifting. It's Noah Baumbach's Greenberg, which is incredibly depressing and downbeat, but I think unbelievably honest and real, and is a movie about an unlikable character that is nevertheless entertaining. And it completely draws you in, a guy who is so charismatic, even as you're sitting there the whole time thinking, this guy is such an asshole. And I think that's the credit to the direction and to the writing and also to the performance by Ben Stiller, who we don't think of as someone who gives good performances anymore. In fact, he's in a movie that's out right now that I don't want to mention, but is in no way a good movie. But he does that really well, that balance of where you can see how this guy draws people in and how people are entertained by him and how he is someone that people want to befriend. And yet at the same time, he's clearly not a good person. And one of those people who is unhappy solely through his own doing. And that's a theme that I think I always find fascinating. So just very, very effective, excellent film. That's my pick for the best movie of the year.
Okay. Film about a schmuck made by a schmuck.
Yes, but I don't know. Maybe I identify with it too much. But I think it's better than that kind of description. But yeah.
Okay. Okay, my number one, I left the country again. I went to Sweden.
Yeah.
I went to Sweden. This film is the whole phenomena of Stieg Larsson.
Oh, okay.
Who is the girl with the dragon tattoo.
That's
my number one
all right,
film.
Cool.
And I was impressed by but this is the year of Stieg Larsson. The writer who wrote this trilogy and died of a heart attack before any of them were published.
Right.
Any of the books were published. And his trilogy has rocketed across the international world literarily.
Yeah.
And I think this movie is much, much superior to the other two movies made.
I absolutely agree. Yes.
It's I think that her performance, that Naomi Rapace performance is indelible, and it's she goes down almost with Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, in Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, she's a heroine.
Yeah, she's not a killer.
But
right.
There's it's so compelling. It's so indelible.
Right.
I don't think Rooney, with her football background, can compete.
She's got big shoes to fill, definitely.
I thought it was she's willfully independent, which I appreciate in women.
Yeah.
And she's also vulnerable, which I also appreciate in women.
Right.
I thought that this was equal to its literary genesis.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I liked it too. I didn't obviously like it nearly as much as you did, but I think especially in comparison to the sequels that sort of mistreat that excellent character. It's a good murder mystery. I found it a little meandering at times. It's a little long, and I don't know. I haven't read the book, so I'm sure it pares things down even more so.
Yes, it does.
And it wallows a little bit in the depravity of the whole thing, which was maybe not. But overall, I like it, and you're absolutely right about Noomi Rapace, however you pronounce her name. She's very, very good, and I mean, this should launch her into an excellent career. I think she's already got some English language movie on the table. They should have hired her for the Fincher version.
But the problem is, She is so identified with this role.
Right.
How is she going to do something else?
Well, hopefully she has the talent that it appears that she has where she can do other things. I mean, maybe not, but she does this role really, really well. And it's definitely one, I mean, it wasn't on my list, but it definitely is one of the best foreign movies, I think, that opened in the U.S. this year. So, all right. Well, they're excellent movies. There you go. Now you know which movies to see. So go out. Many of these are on video. A lot of them are still out in theaters. So
The ones we agreed on were
Winter's Bone, 127 Hours, Social Network. I think all three of those. Well, Winter's Bone, I think, is about to be out on DVD, but 127 Hours and Social Network are both still playing in theaters. And so go.
And these
go
films
see those.
Will be in competition for the Oscars.
Yeah, absolutely, and deservedly so. So my thanks again to Tony Macklin.
I want to mention our friend Nina.
Okay.
Because she, we didn't mention her last time.
A very dedicated listener, and we always appreciate it.
She is our friend.
Yes, absolutely. So thanks. Thanks for listening to Nina and to everyone else. And thanks to Tony Macklin for joining me. Again, TonyMacklin.net. Check him out online. Voices from the Set also is Tony's book that's available. And for Las Vegas Weekly, I'm Josh Bell.
Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right. Including your movie.
Josh Bell hates everything
except me.